Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is day 7 of Inside Euro 2024, the podcast. Just had a very pleasant train journey from Cologne to Frankfurt, where I am due to see England play Denmark in their second game. Delightful train ride, actually. One of the ice specials. Took like an hour and 10 minutes. Train wasn't packed, and arriving at Frankfurt station, you hop off the train, and on the very next platform is the train to the stadium. 10 minutes, 2 stops, and here I am at the Frankfurt Stadion, which really is a masterpiece. And it's kind of a strange situation, location for the stadium. It's out of the city, and it's kind of in a forest. Yeah, you go wandering through greenery, much like yesterday's trip with Cologne, except there's no main entrance to the stadium here. It's all in the forest. But it was lovely. Greenery, smelled great, birds tweeting, and because I'm here early, not tons of wasted fans yet. So, should be a great occasion today, though. England and Denmark, they've played each other on quite a few occasions. Most recently, the semi-finals of the Euro, where Denmark nearly knocked England out of the tournament. I think they had to rely on a very dodgy Raheem Sterling mystery trip in the box, and Harry Kane had his penalty saved by Kasper Schmeichel, but thankfully made the follow-up. Big game for the Danes today after tying their opener, and England will look to improve upon their performance against Serbia. Wasn't overwhelmingly great, was it? I feel like the question everybody is asking is, when will Gareth Southgate release the handbrake? Because we have seen some incredible games of football here. I mean, I'm thinking Turkey, Georgia, even yesterday, Albania, Croatia, Germany were fantastic. I mean, teams just absolutely going for it. And when you look at the talent available to Gareth Southgate, there's no reason why this England team shouldn't just go for it. And figure out Gareth Southgate doesn't release the handbrake and release the three Lions. So we'll be back shortly.
Sam Millen, South London.
I've got to say, the atmosphere here is very different to Gelsenkirchen. Why do you think that is?
It's a lot more of a relaxed feel around here compared to Sunday night. I don't know why. Maybe it's a more friendlier town, possibly.
Do you think the opposition's got anything to do with that?
Yes, definitely. Denmark are a more friendly nation than our friends, the Serbians. But yeah, nice. Yeah, good atmosphere. Really enjoying it. And the weather's held off as well.
So let's talk about the performance on, you know, against Serbia. It wasn't too clever when we compare it to some of the other teams in the tournament. What are we expecting tonight?
I'm expecting more of the same of the first 35 minutes, but for 90 minutes, hopefully.
Is there any chance that Southgate releases the handbrake? Because I'm looking at some of the other teams and they are just, they're going for it. They're playing amazing football and we're still a little conservative, and yet everybody says we've got the best attacking front six in the tournament.
Yeah, I still think it will be a bit more conservative again tonight. I think Trent will start. I'd like to see Gordon start instead of Trent. Gordon on the left, Foden and Bellingham pushing forward, but I don't think we'll see that tonight.
But don't you want to see an end-to-end thriller?
Yes. We'd like to see goals. We all would, wouldn't we? But I don't think we're going to. 2-0 England, I think, tonight.
So you'll take a conservative result as long as we get the 3 points?
Oh, yes. The most important thing, a result. Yeah, 100%.
And do you think we've got a realistic chance of winning this tournament, or is it going to be the same old, and we stub our toes in the quarters and semi-finals?
My heart says we're going all the way. My head says semi-finals.
My name is Oliver, I'm from Copenhagen.
Oliver, why does Denmark keep producing such world-class players from such a small country?
I think it comes down to having a welfare state where everybody are kind of equal and we all have the opportunity to play football whenever we feel like. So we're 6 million people and we're almost at the you know, the same standard as England, where there's, I don't know, 80, 90 million people, but a lot more inequality.
So what does the coaching system programs look like in Denmark?
That's a good question. I should be able to answer you because I'm coaching my son's team, but I don't know. I don't know, to be honest.
I mean, are there licenses, diplomas that you have to take?
I think it's a UEFA system as all over Europe. So, yeah.
And what would you say is the style of Denmark's play?
That's a good question. I think it's all about the team spirit and not focusing too much on individuals. Trying to, you know, keep the ball running and again, not too much focus on one or two people, but just trying to, you know, work together.
And what does Christian Eriksen mean to you, coming back and scoring against Slovenia?
Well, obviously, it's a big moment. I think it was 1,100 days since he actually died on the pitch, and we saw that, right? So every time it's on the subject of Christian Eriksen, it becomes a bit, close to your heart, obviously, yeah. As a Dane and also as a European, I think. Yeah.
How emotional was that moment back in 2021?
It's difficult to describe. I was watching the program with my kids, and we were like, why is the TV channel continuing to record when he's obviously in a very difficult situation? So we were kind of trying to cover our kids from watching what we didn't really believe. So it was kind of a out of this world experience, I guess.
And what are your thoughts for tonight?
My thoughts are that we're going to draw 1-1 and then we'll be good against Serbia in the next game. So, yeah.
Oh, hindsight. If I'd listened to Oliver and thrown down a few euros on the 1-1 draw, that would have been top a notch instead. Like many, thought England would win that game, but Denmark was superb. They showed England exactly how to play this game, technically, tactically, and certainly emotionally. Yeah, England took the lead, sort of undeservedly. Harry Kane with his 64th international goal. I mean, give the man credit. Didn't do anything in the game other than score a goal and give the ball away for the Denmark goal. But it really was a typical striker's finish, just lurking on the six-yard box and throwing out a foot and knocking it in. But his pass that allowed Denmark to equalize was very, very poor. The interesting thing for me at the end of the game was England's lack of desire, invention, creativity. They had a couple of free kicks at the halfway line, and Kieran Trippier and Jordan Pickford were actually looking at Southgate, asking him what to do. That isn't the reaction of a team that's going to challenge for the Euros. In fact, the body language of most of the England players throughout the game was very, very poor. On the other side of the coin, the body language of the Danish players was superb. And really, for me, the whole afternoon / evening was encapsulated by what happened at the end of the game. At the end of the game, the Danish players went to their supporters who were massed behind one of the goals. Must have been 20,000, all in red, and they stayed and they saluted their team. Now, when the England players went to salute their fans, well, they'd already pissed off. And the fans are very, very unhappy. Now, I think, and this may be maybe a long shot, but this is my theory right now. People provide energy. No two ways about that. You can't really argue that fact. And when there is a collective all coming together to provide energy, that energy can have a remarkably positive effect. And when I look at some of the football and supporters that I've seen so far in this tournament, I go immediately to the Turkish fans and the Georgia fans and the Danish fans. And the energy that they provide their team is simply sensational. It's off the charts. And it really drives their teams forward. Now, if we think back to England for the last 60 years, in fact, it's 58 years since they won the World Cup, there has been this collective pessimistic energy. That energy is always, we're going to screw it up. We're not going to do it. We're not good enough. And I think that that permeates society. So now we have a situation where the players certainly feel energy, and you see it week in, week out in professional football at the club level, how a crowd can drive a team forward. Let's go case in point. One of the classic case in points is Liverpool at Anfield. When the crowd gets behind the Liverpool team, the energy that they create is simply unstoppable. So I'm beginning to think that negative energy is the driving force, and I know that kind of sounds weird to say a driving force, but it is a driving force for the English team. Because you look at the quality of some of the players that England possess, Phil Foden, Jude Bellingham, Harry Kane, Bukayo Saka. I mean, these are players that potentially could walk into any national team setup. And yet, when they're playing for England, they seem to struggle. And the England team as a whole seems to struggle. And I really believe it's because there is so much negative energy surrounding the program that they are finding it very, very hard to find the positives. And that negative energy has infected Gareth Southgate. And instead of being a coach that looks at his embarrassment of riches, really, I think he is looking at his legacy in terms of results instead of performances. Now, speaking to the England fans after the game, and I mean, who knows if this is true or not, but from my point of view, I would rather see England lose a game like Georgia did to Turkey the other night at the Westfalen, giving absolutely everything, than this stodge that they continually serve up. I hate to say it, but the two poorest games of the tournament so far were England-Serbia and England versus Denmark. What would happen if Gareth Southgate said to his team and his players, go out there and enjoy yourselves and don't worry about the result? I'm sure, I'm convinced that there would be a sea change in attitude, because this evening I saw England players, these are world-class players, by the way, well, supposedly world-class, who play for the top teams, who make a lot of money, although, you know, the money's neither here nor there, but misplacing passes from 10 yards away. I mean, misplacing passes badly. Going on dribbles without any support and losing the ball. Kicking the ball out of bounds. Just out of bounds. Missing their teammates by 10, 15 yards. And just being completely clueless at set pieces. I mean, the amount of finger pointing going on, you don't see it on TV, but when you're at the stadium, you see everything. And it was really quite embarrassing. I may have used embarrassing earlier in this podcast, but I'm going to use it again. It's embarrassing, not from an English perspective, honestly, but from the perspective of football. Because you're at an international tournament, the Euros consistently considered perhaps even better than the World Cup due to the fact that it's not really lesser nations playing, you know, supposedly. And the English players who ply their trade in the English Premier League, widely considered to be the best league in the world, or maybe the Premier League considers itself to be the best team in the world, are struggling to look like average players at best. I mean, Declan Rice was so poor. I hope he hasn't been given a free ride by the press. It was the worst game I've ever seen Declan Rice play. Jude Bellingham, after bossing proceedings against Serbia, looks so disinterested. You know, we'll give Southgate credit for making the Trent Alexander-Arnold change 5 minutes into the second half, but to be honest with you, that shouldn't have even been on the table. Trent is a great right fullback. He's not a midfielder. And if he is going to be a midfielder, it's going to take a season or two playing midfield on a regular basis to become that player. He's not that player. So to start with him was a disaster. But Southgate did make a bold move, taking off Saka, Foden and Kane, putting on Watkins, Eze and Bowen. And it did make a remarkable difference for 10 minutes before, once again, they went back into their shell. I think what we hope to see from the England team is for them to come out and play the game like they're enjoying it. The weight of the shirt is too much. The negative energy is too much. And unless that can change, I can't see England progressing far in this tournament. And to be fair, I don't think anybody wants to see them progress this far in the tournament because they're not fun to watch. Well, that's my rant for the day. I'll be heading back to Cologne. I've got myself a ride with the top sports director of ARD. His name is Boris Ignacia. I met him back in 2004. And he found me in the stands and said, "Do you want to ride back to Cologne?" And I said, "Yes, please." So I'll speak to you all tomorrow. I'm off to Dusseldorf. And interesting matchup. Ukraine taking on Slovakia. Bye for now.